a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'm going to call this meeting of the Legislative Procedure Committee to order. Welcome to those internet listeners. As a reminder, everyone, please put your cell phones in an appropriate setting. Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Frericks.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Soholt.
Here.
White.
Here.
Nofstrup.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Lieutenant Governor Michaels.
Here.
Representatives Bartling.
Here.
Hunoff.
Here.
Lust.
Here.
Munsterman. Wick.
Here.
Wake.
Here.
Gosh.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum present. As you may recall, we had a few items that we still needed to kind of clean up from our last meeting. The first thing, though, before we get into that, I'd look for a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Moved by Gosh, second by Wink. Moved by Wink, second by White. There we go. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, those are approved. We had some discussion involving Senate Bill 70 and the fiscal impact statements. We put together a little work group from this committee to meet with Ruben and folks from the executive branch and the judicial branch. I think those meetings went pretty well, and maybe at this point I would turn it over to Representative Wink if you wanted to just give us a brief overview as our lead legislative representative, and then I'll turn it over to our staff here to talk about that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The subcommittee met last Friday, and all three branches of government were represented, from the executive branch, Mr. Seward, Chief Counsel for the Governor, the Department of Corrections, and the Bureau of Finance and Management were all there. The Unified Judicial System was represented, and from the legislature, we had members from each chamber plus LRC members, and we kind of went through the protocols item by item and moving some things around, deleting others. When all was said and done, we were in agreement that LRC would take the lead on all the statements in cooperation with, but not the approval of, the Rapid Response Team, which includes BFM and the Corrections, under the umbrella of the Governor's Chief Counsel and UJS. I think you have a revised copy in your packet. We are asking for your approval at this time, with the understanding that this is still a work in progress and may need to be revised as we move forward. We do have a pending issue regarding whether or not you want to amend the joint rules with respect to an amendment that I think Ruben will probably explain to us later. Up to date, we've got about 20 requests for fiscal impact statements concerning the SB 70, the Public Safety Initiative. And up to as of right now, I believe we've met the requirements on 16 of them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Winken. Thank you to the members who took the time to attend that and work through that. At this point, I would go ahead and turn it over to our staff to maybe offer any perspective on these protocols or the meeting or anything else that you think we need to know as a group.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, just very briefly, I think we are feeling good about where this process came out. You know, it was a very positive meeting, and we believe that we can move forward in a rapid and constructive way. If this group is in concurrence with where we're at, I think we'll start to process these statements as early as tomorrow. With that, maybe Ruben can summarize briefly some of the fail safes and give us just a real quick overview, his perspective.
Yes, not to repeat what Senator Wick summarized, but two important decisions came out of the meeting that we had last week. One is not reflected in the protocols, and that the protocols never addressed whether LRC or BFM would have primary responsibility for these, but it was decided over my strenuous objection that we would write them all and BFNM would write none of them. I'd much prefer the opposite decision in that regard. And then finally, under Protocols 9 and 10, we've drastically rearranged the items that we consider legitimate for the statements and the ones that we don't consider legitimate for the statements. Again, I have no problem whatsoever with the items that we finally come up with. I'm a little mystified as to how we didn't get to this decision already the first week of December, but we are all on the same page now, and we are moving ahead. First thing we did on the weekend was pull all of my people together. We crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's and set to work over the three-day process. And we have a set of about 14 admittedly not the most difficult ones that are finished as far as we're concerned, and we're ready to turn them over to the interim director for his signature. But since we are meeting, if you'd like to see what we're doing and the way we're phrasing it, we do have handouts for you. I don't see any breach of confidence in showing you things that are going to become public knowledge in a very short period of time anyway, and that way if there is any one last final check on what we're doing and you see something that you don't like, something that you do like, we're soliciting input in that regard. One other thing that came out of the meeting last week was Senator White asked, well, how do we know that everybody is going to get the message? So I volunteered to write up what I call the white list, and we have the five fail safes that should make sure that none of these slip through anybody's fingers or fail to register on any legislator's radar screen. Just to touch on them very, very briefly, the staff will be active in counseling with the legislators during the drafting process. The staff will also attach a form letter to every one of the ones that we believe are at least a possible candidate for a request. The staff will also be clicking on a box that's been installed in our lawmaker system so that when the staffer jackets the bill, that was when the jacket gives the order to the back room to put the bill officially into place, he'll punch that button and it will automatically underline the summation code. The summation code is that series of three numbers, a letter, and four more numbers in the upper left-hand corner of the map. The Code Council is independently screening these bills and has a subject index status entitled Prison and Jail Impacts, so that you can get a double check. And then finally, I thought we had a really good response to staff visiting the caucuses and explaining the protocols on how we intended to deal with caucus requests. We're certainly open to invitation to come up and make a presentation on how you identify and deal with the incarceration notes.
With that, why don't I go ahead and have you distribute those handouts that you had? And while those are being distributed, I guess I would just ask if there's anyone in the audience who would care to offer additional testimony that may not be reflective of what was already stated. Do you? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Seward with the Governor's Office. I would just echo all that's been said today. We concur with the report and concur with the protocols. Just appreciate the working relationship. Last Friday at 5:30 p.m., all three branches were still meeting, and everyone really did a nice job bringing this together. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. As the committee has a chance to look through this handout, are there any questions that the committee has regarding either the handout or the process? Representative Hunhoff.
For Ruben, if I could, can you see where this could at some point lead to a situation where more bills might require a two-thirds vote because there would be clearly an appropriation, perhaps not specified in the bill, but attached to the fiscal statement? Does that make any sense?
I think it makes sense. It's something I hadn't given a great deal of thought, but typically there is not an appropriation attached to a bill to pay for an anticipated amount of increased incarceration, although interestingly enough, one of the opponents to Senate Bill 6 this morning in Judiciary said, well, if you're going to impose this kind of costs on the counties, you ought to pay for it. So, you know, that's not a formal linkage, but it is a factor that may come into play in the process.
And if I might, just add a tad bit to that. Typically, when we have a bill like this that's going to deal with an ongoing expense, what would normally happen if there was required additional dollars, the general bill would be amended to reflect that if it was very clear that that needed to happen. So this bill itself would remain a majority vote, and then the general bill would follow, because it's not really a special appropriation per se, because it's in an ongoing basis. If the fiscal staff would disagree with that assessment, I'd be happy to. Okay. Other questions? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's a little bit more of just a point of information. I know when we were in our work group meeting, or subcommittee, as far as the issue of inflation, and if you look at any one of the examples, how it'll say in parentheses, the calculation is based on today's dollars and not adjusted for inflation. And I think we pretty well agreed, even if you're looking at a 10-year period, it's hard to project a number in terms of inflation on those dollars, which I think we all understood, and I just wanted the committee up here to know that as well. Thank you.
Other comments or questions from the committee? Okay, I guess with that, we'll close that to public testimony and questions, and I'd look for action from the committee. Senator Rave.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
Okay. We're referring to the protocols that were listed. So Senator Abe has moved that we would adopt the protocols that were proposed. That's been seconded by Representative Wink. Is there any further discussion? Okay, with not, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. You'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Senators Frerichs. Bartling.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Munsterman. Wick.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
13 ayes. One.
And those protocols are adopted on a vote of 13 in favor and one excused. At this point, that brings us to the next item. There is a proposed joint rule that would go along with this particular topic. I guess I would ask Ruben if you would mind taking a minute just on the justification or the thoughts of having that particular rule in place.
Well, as I said before, I had my plate full trying to figure out what we were going to do with the bills themselves, and I really hadn't thought much about amendments until Jim Seward was in my office and said, well, what are you doing about amendments? I said, I don't have the foggiest idea what I'm going to do with amendments. He said, well, how about no amendment is in order unless it comes pre-prepared with a fiscal note. I said, genius idea. I mean, I can't think of any other way to keep the committee process and the floor process from falling into total disarray. Some chairs or some presiding officers will be lenient towards, you know, if there's no rule, some presiding officers and some chairs will be lenient towards giving amendment offerers some scope without a fiscal impact. It will slow and disrupt the committee's business, and that just like this morning in Judiciary, that we took hearings on Senate Bill 6, but then held it over until the fiscal note came in. And interestingly, another analogy to the problems that not adopting this rule came up in Judiciary this morning, where one of the witnesses, even though the chair had announced that we didn't have a fiscal note and wouldn't be discussing fiscal matters until we did get one, went ahead and volunteered a very large negative impact with regard to Senate Bill 6, with really very little methodology to support his assumption. It seems to me that if you're going to institutionalize this process of incarceration statements as a legislative thing, then you ought to protect your own child by making sure that it takes center stage and other people react to it, rather than the people who are preparing the incarceration statements having to react to volunteer testimony, which, you know, obviously was designed to influence the vote in a negative manner. The Legislative Research Council is not afraid to make their best estimate and to support it with methodology such as you've seen in the samples that we've given you today, but I do think it puts the LRC and the legislature in a more difficult position when we're in effect reacting to some number that was thrown out and may have been reported in the press, and then people can say, oh, LRC is trying to knock that number down so they can breathe life into this bill again, or if the number was low, the LRC is, you know, jacking the number up so that it counteracts the other information that was given in committee. So, again, obviously this comes very close to a value judgment, but I can see great value in the proposed rule that's in front of you.
I'll just go ahead and ask at this point, is there anyone else in the audience that would care to testify either in favor or in opposition to the proposed rule? Okay, I'll turn it over to the committee. Are there any questions from the committee?
Just a general question. What's the status of the fiscal impact statement on the felony animal cruelty bill?
We have three requests in that are going to be very difficult. Of the three, animal cruelty is the least difficult, and I expect that we're going to have something to present to the rapid response team. And every one of these that are in your packet have been circulated amongst the rapid response team, so they are being vetted by other organizations. I don't see that there'll be much of a holdup on that one. Senate Bill 6, which is the crime of committing domestic abuse in front of a child, and a long, difficult bill that's being sponsored by some of the law enforcement groups to come up with a total rewrite of the intentional damage to property provisions, which range all the way from misdemeanors to a Class 2 felony, as I recall, are going to be exceedingly difficult, and we do not intend to rush them to the point where we make bad judgments or mistakes unless we're forced to do so. But animal cruelty, I would think, we'll certainly have before the end of the week.
Any other questions from the committee? Okay, at this point, I would close this portion of the meeting to the questions and open it up for committee action and or discussion. Senator Rave.
I would move adoption of the proposed joint rule regarding amendments.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Senator Rave, second by Senator Soholt, that we would adopt the proposed joint rule concerning the amendments. Is there further discussion from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rave.
I just, I think Ruben described it very well, and we've talked about that several times over the last week or so about the roadblocks that could be presented by changing penalty on the fly, and I think this actually is a really good plan to address that. People know up front, hey, this is it. If you don't have one, you're out of order. We move on. So I would urge you to support the joint rule, and thanks for your hard work on this.
Any other discussion from the committee? Okay, seeing none, with that, before you have the adoption of the proposed joint rule, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator. Excuse.
The proposed joint rule is adopted on a vote of 13 ayes, 1 excused. With that, that brings us to the end of the proposed agenda that we had for today. Are there any other items from the committee? Seeing none, I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Moved by Senator or Representative Wink, seconded by Senator White to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.